So I have a confession to make to y'all tonight, and it's a little embarrassing, so bear with me, all right? A few years ago, Pam took to watching Hallmark Christmas movies, and she would beg me to watch them with her. And of course, I didn't want to because I'm a guy, and I've got a man card in my wallet to prove it, all right? But she likes having Hallmark moments with her family, and so I would agree to watch one and only one Hallmark Christmas movie with her during the Christmas season. And honestly, it was miserable. It was not a good experience for me. The writing was bad. The dialogue was sophomoric. The acting was barely tolerable, and the actor is just a little bit too perfect. You know what I mean? And every story was the same. Boy meets girl. Boy loses girl, boy gets girl back again. Unless they changed it up completely, and then it went girl meets boy, girl loses boy, girl gets boy back again. And then they live happily ever after. But I'm a good husband. Yeah, there's a little bit of laughter. I was waiting for that. So I'd watch the movie with Pam when it was over. And she'd be all warm and fuzzy with her Hallmark movie, you know, moment. And she'd say, watch another one with me. And I'd be like, no, 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 no. And I'd go upstairs and I'd have to read something so, you know, to slow the deterioration of my brain cells from what I just experienced, you know. Maybe rinse my brain with bleach or something like that, you know. But it was kind of like one of my gifts to her, to watch a Hallmark movie with her. And so maybe even I'd watch another one through the Christmas season, and yeah, sure, it's always nice to see two nice looking people who, you know, meet up, and they don't really like each other, but they're forced by circumstances to have to work together because, you know, the town's got a gingerbread house contest or something like that, you know, and they slowly start to fall in love with one another, only to have some misunderstanding happen, and then they kind of break up or something. And then in the last 5 minutes, the misunderstanding is cleared up, and they declare their everlasting love to one another. They have the one and only kiss in the entire movie, and then it's all over. And all this happens over the course of 3 days, you know. So, but still, you know, it's sweet. So that's not the confession part. Here's the confession part. This year, for some reason, I found myself watching more than one Hallmark Christmas movie. And even enjoying them a little bit. And a few times, I watched a Hallmark Christmas movie and Pam wasn't even around. And there was a football game on at the same time that I could have been watching. So, yeah, I know. Hold on a second, hold on. This is my man card. And, yeah, it's completely revoked and everything. So, anyway. And, of course, this concerned me. I didn't know if I needed to go to the doctor or anything, you know, if there's something going on. I mean, I'm approaching 60. Maybe my hormone levels are dropping, you know. Is my voice getting higher or something, you know? Maybe there's a patch I can wear that'll take care of it or something. And I kind of think that what's going on, that what was happening, especially this year, is that I needed a dose of idealism. Because it seems like our world right now is overdosing on cynicism. Everybody has seemingly decided that the world is a terrible place to be and it's beyond redemption and nobody gets along and many people seem to revel in the chaos that's going on. And there's school shootings and invading immigrant caravans and the stock market is crashing and somehow Google knows wherever you are at any point in time and somehow knows that I need to buy new socks, you know, and So really, can you blame me if I found myself gravitating towards simple stories in Midwest communities where the whole town gets together every year and lights the town Christmas tree on the square and everybody sings songs together and people fall in love with each other and live happily ever after. Because if there is a discernible theme in the Hallmark Christmas movies, it's that we can't let cynicism win, especially at Christmas. I mean, in just about every one of the movies, there's one of the major characters has lost their Christmas spirit. They've given in to cynicism, or maybe they never had the Christmas spirit. Or she's too wrapped up in her career to bother with the Christmas spirit. And so the heroine has to rescue them from their cynicism. And that's a theme that resonates with me. Because I find that a lot of Christians have succumbed to cynicism. And it's sort of an optimistic cynicism that basically agrees that, yes, this world stinks and life is drudgery, but hey, at least Jesus came, you know, and if we believe in Him and accept Him, then when we ultimately die, which we all will, we'll all get to go to heaven. And that is kind of the Christian message, isn't it? But it's not the biblical message. It's the Christian message, but it's not always the biblical message. The Christian message is about going to heaven when you die, which isn't untrue or unbiblical, properly understood, but it's not the whole story at all. The biblical message isn't primarily about that, about forsaking an irredeemable world for a perfect heaven. The biblical message is about the work that God is doing in Christ right now to redeem the world and everyone in it, to redeem this place into the kingdom of God, a place where God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the biblical vision. And it's not unlike the vision that Isaiah had, who in some of the most beautiful words of poetry ever written, said that the wolf will lay down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that beautiful? They will not hurt or destroy at all on my holy mountain. They will beat their swords into plowshares, and they will learn war no more. I've seen Christians, good Christians, biblical Christians, people who study their Bible and know their Bibles, who hear those words and yet hang their heads and their body, whole body language clearly communicating that, hey, it's a nice sentiment. It's pretty and everything. Wonderful poetry, wonderful imagery, but it's not ever going to happen. Not on this earth, not in this world. Maybe in the next world, maybe in the next life. Because if it better happen in the next world, in the next life, because otherwise everything is meaningless. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And that's what I mean by an optimistic cynicism. We hear these words of the poet prophet and we discount them as pie in the sky, unrealistic. But we cannot give in to the voices of cynicism. We need to listen to the voices of the prophets and the angels. We can't let the talking heads on cable news or talk radio drown out the voices of the poets, because we need the poets. We need the poets. And it's not for nothing that when the prophets spoke of old and they proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord," what inevitably followed after that was poetry. When God speaks, He seems to like to speak in poetry and in song. "Glory to God in the highest," the angel said. "And on earth, peace." Oh boy, we need that, don't we? And we have to believe that. And Christmas is a reminder that even when we give up hope, God never does. That even when we've given up hope for this world, God has not. That when we're ready to give up on people, God never will. And when we're ready to even give up on ourselves, our hopes and dreams, God still believes in us. That even if we don't believe in Him, He never stops believing in us. And He is always working towards our redemption. When we yield to cynicism, God sends a baby and angels and virgins. And yeah, it may all seem like too much of a perfect Hallmark moment, but deal with it. Because Scrooge started with humbug. But in the end, it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. And you know, it's not such a bad little tree after all. The wolf will live with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. Do you believe that? We are here because this is our hope and this is our future. John begins his gospel with his own Hallmark moment. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us." And the Word became the light of the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. This is the Word of God. Blessed be the Lord. I invite our ushers to come forward and join me at the front, and for all of us to get out our candles and prepare to share the light with one another. I'll start with you. How about that? Push your candles out so you can light them easier. Okay, push them out of the cup.
Not yet.
No. Not yet. Wait. Let's all stand and sing together, Silent Night, Holy Night.
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, that the light has indeed come into the world. And the darkness cannot overcome it. We pray, Father, that as we depart this place and as we go to celebrate this time with friends and with family and loved ones, that the light of Jesus Christ will indeed shine in our lives as it shines in through these candles. And from us, that light will pour forth. We'll defeat not only darkness, but the cynicism. And we will point to a future with hope, a future of redemption, a future of reconciliation, a future of peace. Let it be so, Lord, in our lives and in your world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And have a very Merry Christmas.